QST, 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 this is Lynn, WA6KLK, Whiskey Alpha 6 Kilo, Lima Kilo, Redwood Valley for the 2C TechNet. 2C TechNet is a place to ask your radio questions, and we will try to supply the answers. A lot of experience out here, both with the brand new hams, and I'd like to say congratulations. We've got a little over 50 new hams in the last couple weeks. A few haven't gotten their licenses yet, but should by the end of the week. Place to ask your radio questions, ask for help, etc., what have you. Computer questions dealing with radio can be brought into the thing also. And we'll try to answer any as we can. So I usually will ask for questions, comments, and general check-ins. Break. So we'll go around. We have lots of time, some good regular questions. And somewhere around 10 minutes into the series, we'll have Bill, Kilo Mike 6 Whiskey Yankee Echo on. And tonight I think he's going to talk about some of the satellites. If he told me 10 minutes ago and I've forgotten already. What you can do with them and how you can do it and what have you. And he'll have a talk about them and he'll have questions and answers as he goes along too. Probably run for 20 or 25 minutes over there. So once again, this is Len, WA6KLK, with co-host Bill, KM6WYE, sitting over in the background. Let's go look for 2C TechNet. If I had locked this thing on frequency, it won't jump off. Let's go look for 2C TechNet. Questions, comments, or check-ins?
Kilo Juliet, 6 Echo India Foxtrot Mobile.
Good evening, Steve. KJ6EIF Mobile. Super good signal tonight, sir.
Well, thank you, Len. I have the opportunity to listen on the TechNet tonight. I'm excited about the special topic of satellites, so I'm going to listen in.
Okay, and if you want to hear something over sometime tonight or tomorrow morning, it will be up with the link through w6mmm.club. Go to the links page, go to the 2C TechNet, and that will take you another page, and then you can pick up any of the sessions that have been recorded and listen to the audio for them. Most of them are going to run around. We've done a couple, and most of them are running around 50 minutes, but something to listen to while you're doing something else in the shack, perhaps, if you missed part of tonight or want to listen to it again. Don't be afraid to get in and ask questions either. Check-ins, questions, comments, 2C TechNet.
KK6PZA.
Good evening, Rick. KK6PZA, Solon KK6VLV is here also. Got him in the log, too. How you doing tonight?
Doing pretty well. I got a question, if you want. I picked up a older mobile screwdriver antenna with a coil that moves up and down, and I've finally gotten some of the pieces I need to put it all together, which I've got a mast on it now, a 66-inch whip. And now I'm wondering about grounding it in terms of putting it on a tripod outside and putting it on the antenna analyzer and seeing what it can do. What kind of ground should I have for that?
Okay. Gonna probably need a little bit more metal than just the tripod. Might want to try either some ground stakes or lay out some random length radials, particularly if you're thinking of using it there at home a little bit more often. You know, like a couple at 33 feet, a couple maybe at 60 feet, maybe a couple shorter ones. just in a testing mode. Just stay with the 40 and shorters and see what happens. It's usually designed to work against a truck body, car or pickup type body, or car body. That's why I'm saying not enough of metal there in the tripod unless you got maybe a couple, three ground rods stuck in it.
I do have, I don't know exactly how long it is, but a piece of fencing that is laid on the ground and is grass growing up all around it, and then I have a fence that has, you know, it's on T-posts, and I was thinking about using both of those. Would that be adequate to get an idea?
Well, it would help give you an idea. May not give you an exact idea, because I think they're some of the design structure was against a mobile, but it will give you a good idea of what you can do, I would think. I know that quite some time ago, Carl and I set up a 10-meter quarter-wave vertical, put it against a wire fence, and SWR was so-so. We were able to tune it down. But we added one radial of about the proper quarter wave length, really brought it down, put a second one on there, and took it right down to 1:1. Of course, that's not that mobile antenna, but yeah, you might want to try it, and then if nothing else, try a couple fixed length radials or something, but normally it would be working against a truck body, so yeah, shield could come down. You can contact the owner. You might ask him what kind of luck he used to have with it on the truck, or if he used it like you're using it.
Well, thanks very much, Len. That gave me a lot of good input for the way I've been looking at it. KK6PZA.
Oh, that's a
question for you. You do anything with those pots for that ICOM yet?
Negative. I am getting a new solder set up here pretty quick, and it's on the list. I'm still looking at the wire, honestly. I don't think that one suggestion is, I think it's heavy, what you're talking about.
Okay. I'll have to see if I've got it around here. If not, I have some very lightweight wire around here, too. I was thinking, what I was thinking was a piece of that 8-conductor rotor cable. It had two larger ones and six smaller ones in it, but they might be, smaller ones may be a little bit heavier. We were thinking, well, we'll have to look around. Well, let me know when you get ready to do it, and we'll look for sure in the wire bin.
Very good, Len. Thanks for remembering, but I am working on it. There's a number of things going in terms of putting a bench together. Yeah, so thanks, KK6PZA.
Hi, thank you, Rick. Questions, comments, check-ins, Tuesday TechNet.
AM6OTE with a question.
AM6OTE with a question. Go ahead.
So the discussion of putting radials on a vertical, which I understand is standard practice, so does that same apply to a vertical for VHF? The VHF antenna I have has three little stubs coming out of the bottom, which I assume function the same way as the radials on a HF vertical, but would the performance be improved by having more radials or counterpoise on the VHF antenna, on a base station VHF antenna? Just a thought.
Okay, the three stubs you see out there are about 20 inches long on each one of them. And there's a design element within them, but yes, they are like the ground radials, but the antenna is much higher up in the ground, normally the up off of the ground than the HF vertical. Yes, you could put a flat disc out there, but your angle, if it's a flat disc, your angle of radiation is going to take off, go up a lot. 20 to 3, there's the design, but you'll notice lots of times that the radials are down at about a 45-degree angle. That helps the impedance and also helps bring the signal more down to the horizon. But yes, you're thinking of the same thing.
Curious. It seems to work fine the way it is. I'm just curious if it would improve, but I get the picture. Thanks.
If it's a commercial one, I'd leave it like it is.
Okay, well, check me in, KM6OTE.
And you're welcome. Questions, comments, check-ins, Tuesday TechNet. We'll go another 5 minutes or so before we go over to talk about satellites.
KJ6EIF with comment.
KJ6EIF, go ahead, Steve.
Lynn, I had a screwdriver on my truck for a long time, and I agree with you about the quarter wave counterpoises. If Rick is using the screwdriver for 40 or 80 meters, then he probably should put a shunt coil on the bottom so that he can get the best impedance. Otherwise, it's going to be about a 25-ohm antenna instead of a 50-ohm antenna. The shunt I had was 1 inch in diameter, and I think it was about 8 coils of wire. And so that one end goes to ground, and the other end goes to the hot part of the antenna, and that's where you connect your coax. Your hot coax lead is at the top of the shunt. It tweaks the tuning a little bit, and the SOR should come down. KJ6EIF.
Okay, Rick, PZA, you copy?
I copy, and this particular antenna, which is a, what is it, High Sierra 1500 something-something, in the base or the mounting unit that comes with it, you set it down on this brass unit, and there is a copper coil involved in the connection that you then have with the UHF.
Got it. It's like with some of the little single band whips you buy for $20. You put a certain capacitance across the bottom of the antenna to ground, and you can bring it from a 3-to-1 where it will tune down to a 1-to-1. A lot better. Anything else, Rick?
All for me. Thank you very much. Thank you, EIF, Steve, and thank you, Len.
Okay. Questions, comments, check-in, Susie TechNet.
Question, KI6ISQ.
Good evening, Jim, KI6ISQ. Go ahead.
Good evening. I've got a question about my vertical antenna. I've got a butternut antenna, and because of where it's located next to a fence, I can only put radials out kind of in a half fan. And because it's on a fence, I put some of my radials elevated and a lot of them in the ground because I didn't have a place to go. And I don't know if that's the best way to do it. It's not in the book, but I just tried it. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on some ground radials and some elevated radials running along the fence itself. Back to you, KI6ISQ here.
Well, it'll definitely help a play. Might be a slight difference in length for some in the ground versus some in the air. For the capacity, and as they fan out, probably the angle for takeoff would be better over the fan than what it would be in the other way, but it would still work pretty good, and that's there's nothing wrong with what you did at all, Jim.
Well, I get decent reports, and I'm able to, you know, get some contacts at distance using FT8. But I just wondered if there was any thoughts on that. And it sounds like it's just because of my situation here at my QTH, I'm just sort of stuck with that. Back to you, Lynn, KI6ISQ.
Well, you're doing all right. And there's an old saying, Jim: any antenna is better than no antenna. Questions, comments, general check-ins, Juicy TechNet.
6SHY.
Kilo Mike 6, Sierra Hotel Yankee, go ahead.
And Eric here, mobile, thank you for doing the net, no traffic, KM6SHY.
Let's go try to pick up two or three more and then we'll get into the satellites. Questions, comments, check-ins, 2C TechNet.
Good evening, Lynn, check me in, please. KJ6CVR, no questions.
Don, we got you in, is the missus there, you can relay her?
She's knitting, I can relay her. KJ6EVR, checking in KJ6EVF.
Alright, we have her, and I believe somebody doubled with Don first time around. Questions, comments, general check-ins, 2C TechNet.
I've got another question, Lynn. This is Jim, KI6ISQ, and it's about 6 meters. Break.
Yes, the magic band, and back off the audio just a little bit.
Got it. So, the difference between single sideband 6 meters and FM, I know most people use single sideband 6 meters for DXing. What are your thoughts, and what's behind that? I don't quite get that.
Okay. CW in the single sideband, because they take up much less band space, will also travel a little bit further. Yes, you can get some good sporadic E on 6 meter FM, but your bandwidth is quite a bit lighter, and you're also going to have to totally retune an antenna for up at 52.525 for the FM simplex. And I've seen the band open where it is open up to about 50.150, nothing above that, but loaded below it. It's narrower, easier to detect than the FM, like the digital signal. It can be detected when you can't even hear CW. You can do a CW signal when you can't hear sideband. You can do sideband when you can't hear AM, and you can do AM when you can't hear FM. And a lot of it was to just try to get some more separation in the old days and away from TV or between the stuff rather than jamming the FM down there. But that's why they separated out. But the sideband CW, because of the narrow-bandedness, like FT8, work much better than the FM on the long hauls.
Great, that's what I suspected, but I'm really glad to hear that from you. Thank you.
And I've got a book around here, The Magic Band, which 6 meters is, a great band in there. All right, let's see if we can find one or two more here, and we'll get into satellites. Questions, comments, general check-ins, 2C TechNet.
Kilo 6, Papa Delta Uniform.
Oh, Chris, KK6PDU, Fort Bragg. What's up, sir?
Oh, just working my way home. Check me in, please. Thanks for doing the net. KK6PDU.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, Miss Ty, you around and ready to take it?
Good evening, Len. This is KM6WYE. I think there was a double there. Double, go ahead.
The audio is very, very weak, and you got a bunch of noise on the signal. You'll have to talk right up into the microphone, which will be on the front side of the radio, if you're using a handy talkie. So speak up into it and give your call phonetically. It was a K something, and I didn't get much more than that. Over.
This is KN6, Charlie Bravo Echo. Baylor, just checking in.
Okay, I think you said Charlie Brecko over. Charlie Brown's environment. Okay, Taylor, where are you located, Taylor? And congratulations, I know you're one of the new hams.
Fort Bragg.
Fort Bragg. Yeah, your audio's much better like that. I think you're on a handy talkie and got to climb up on it, so welcome into the Tuesday TechNet. Glad to have it. Have you here, and every Tuesday night at 7, we get on, and don't be afraid to check in, don't be afraid to ask questions. Anything we can do for you tonight?
Well, I think I tuned in a little late. You were going over setting up an antenna and the lateral wires and thread and that sort of thing. I'm looking at setting up a 2-meter diagonal single monopole antenna, and I'm curious of what kind of thread is going to take up.
Okay, you're looking at a 2-meter antenna. A dipole on 2 meters is only about 20 inches on each side. Or you can make a J-pole, which is a good omnidirectional antenna out of half-inch copper. I would suggest talk to Richard, WD6HDY, or Jonathan, KK6RPX. Over there, perhaps on the local Fort Bragg system, to get a little help with your 2-meter antenna. I would say a J-pole would be a good one to start with if you want to build one. Over.
Okay, now I'm willing to invest just a little bit of money in it. You know, I like this. I like you guys. You know, it's a great group of people. And I'm willing to invest a little bit of money. But what I was curious about was the. I know you got to put lateral guy wires in. What kind of spread do you need when you put something 30 foot up in the air?
Oh, okay. I had not heard all of the questioner, and I misunderstood it. Okay, if you're going to go up 30 foot in the air, of course, brace it something in the ground over a pipe in the ground, or set the base at least a foot down into the ground. If it's kind of alongside of the house, put a strap around it to the peak of the roof or wherever you can along the roof line of the house. And then you'll have to use maybe a washer that will fit over the pipe or something. Take about 4 inches of PVC, cut it in half so it will fit over the pipe. Put a couple, three steel clamps around that. Put a ring on top of it. And holes about every 120 degrees for 3 guy wires and spread them out at about 120 degrees. And put that about a foot or two below the antenna. Over. Well, you use what area you got to, Taylor. 30-foot pole, you should try to get up, get them out at about 25 or 30 foot or a little better from the base of the antenna.
I want to go out about the, whatever the height is of the pole, that's how far out from the radius you want to go out to secure your wire.
Yeah, if at all possible. And when you start getting into a lot of the taller antennas, of course, you go out further, but that would be a good starting figure. Go ahead.
Cool. Well, thank you. Thank you for doing what you do. I really appreciate you guys, and I appreciate you guys putting on the test and the school. Great place to people. KN6, Charlie Bravo Echo. Out.
Okay, anybody else to check in before we go to the satellites?
Kilo India 6, Zulu Oscar Hotel, stand in Fort Bragg.
6SOH, good evening. Stan, anything?
That's nice, but thanks for doing it, and you have a good night.
Okay, anybody else? Like you were quick on the trigger, after you hit the push-to-talk switch, wait about 2 seconds before you talk, and then give your call phonetically, please, slowly. Kilo Mike 6, question, Foxtrot.
Oscar Tango.
TF, that's Marshall, I believe, isn't it?
That's correct. I'm just checking in. Thanks for hooking the net tonight.
All right, Marshall. Anybody else? All right, if anybody else wants to check in a little bit, Bill will pick you up in between some of the stuff, and we'll get you logged in here because we're here in the repeater too. So, Bill, KM6 Whiskey Yankee Echo, Tomka, go ahead and talk about satellites. You got 20-25 minutes as you can ramble.
Hey, thanks, Glenn. This is Kilo Mike 6 Whiskey Yankee Echo, Bill up here in Tomkai. I appreciate you having the net, and well, sounds like a pretty lively one already. Some great questions. And I think Marshall in there, the one that just checked in, I think he just got his general as well, so congratulations on that. That's always good. Looking forward to hearing you on the HF. Well, let's do a quick little break before we get into satellites. Any last check-ins there, questions or comments? Tuesday TechNet. All right, well, there's a few things that we can do with satellites as ham radio operators, and, well, I'd like to get into them. I don't know everything, of course. I've gotten into a few things. I'm a new ham myself, actually, new general as of March, and, well, let's start. Well, some of the first things you can do with some of the satellites that are out there are three voice repeater satellites other than the ISS, and you don't need a computer to do any of this. You just need a radio that can set a split offset, that the transmit frequency is different than the receive frequency. And I'll break for questions and check-ins. Okay, well, if you are interested in using one of the satellites that are orbiting as a repeater, you can. There are three of them. And, well, actually there's four if you include the ISS, which apparently that repeater sometimes doesn't work, so it's worth a try, but the three that are in operation, one is called SO50, Sierra Oscar 50, the next one is Alpha Oscar 91, and the other one is Alpha Oscar 92. Now, they've put a lot of satellites in orbit, and a lot of them have malfunctioned. There's a lot of them still up there, just not working. These ones are still working most of the time. There are also sometimes when they're in the dark and they don't work. So we'll have to keep that in mind. And we'll take a little break for check-ins and questions. Tuesday TechNet, KM6 WYE.
Good evening, Bill on the net. Whiskey 6, Juliet, Romeo, Charlie.
Good evening. Thank you for checking in. Any traffic or questions?
No, by golly, interesting topic. We're certainly willing to listen and learn. Almost worked the ISS twice, I guess, in the lifetime of him. Anyway, that's all I know about it, though, to be honest. Over to you.
Oh, very good. Yes, I haven't actually worked the ISS myself, but something to do on the checklist. Well, thanks again for checking in, and glad to have you. This is KM6 WYE for the Tuesday TechNet. Anyone else out there want to check in with questions? Okay, hearing nothing, we will continue. We'll start with the first satellite, which is Sierra Oscar 50. This one has a, well, I guess we should also mention, get your pencils and papers out, notepads, digital notepads, whatever you need. If you want to work the satellites, I'm going to give some frequencies and the PL tones, And pretty much, yeah, that's what you'll need. You can work these satellites. I believe you can work them from a handheld. But it definitely helps to have a little bit more power and a nice antenna. You can also get an antenna that follows the satellites, and that's how you'll get the best signal to them and the longest pass. But I haven't actually done any of that, and I still have a decent amount of reception and a decent length of time while they're passing. And I'll take a break for check-ins while we're here. Tuesday TechNet, KM6 WYE.
W6FQX.
Good evening, John. How's it going tonight?
Well, not too bad. We just finished dinner. We had a little late start.
Oh, very nice. Well, any traffic?
Negative. I'm just, listening to your story and trying to gain some information.
Well, very good. Thank you for being there, and thanks for the check-in. Anyone else out there want to check in? Tuesday TechNet. Okay. Well, thank you guys for checking in. Thanks for being there. The frequencies to talk through the SO50 satellite, the uplink frequency. So you'll have to set a split frequency on your radio, which means, well, you're going to transmit on a different frequency than you're going to receive, and in this case, it's a different band altogether. So the uplink is 145.850. I'll repeat, 145.850. That's the uplink to SO50. The PL tone for the uplink is 67 hertz. I'll repeat, the PL tone is 67 hertz. That is the uplink. 145.85 with a PL tone of 67 hertz. And I'll break for questions. Okay, now the last half of this is the downlink where you're going to want to be listening. The downlink frequency is in the UHF band. It is 436.795. I repeat, 436.795. That is the downlink you will listen on. So look up in your radio's manual. You'll find out how to set a split frequency. My Yaesu here took me a minute, but it wasn't too hard once you get it. And then you're good to go. All three of these satellites will have a split frequency like that. And so looking up the split, how to do the split in your radio is going to be imperative. And we'll break for questions. AM6WYE, Tuesday TechNet. I didn't quite make out the call sign there. You're coming into the repeater a bit scratchy. If you'll say your call sign slowly and phonetically, please. Go ahead.
KM6, Charlie Bravo Echo.
All right, got you a little bit better there. Thank you. Go ahead with the question.
PL tone for the downlink?
That is a good question. There is no PL tone for the downlink. And thank you for asking that. Any other questions? Okay. Well, anyone else out there wanting to check in or have any questions? Go ahead, KM6WYE and WA6KLK for the Tuesday TechNet.
KM6OTE, Mike in Fort Bragg, I have a question.
Hey, Mike in Fort Bragg, go ahead with the question.
Sometimes I've listened to the satellites, and the format of the contacts seems a little different than a standard contact, but I couldn't find anything written about how it's done. In other words, are you talking to one person? Are you putting out a general call? Are you have an appointment with somebody? And it's all rushed because the pass is fast. But I'm just curious what the protocol is for a satellite contact.
That is a really, really, really great question. And I was definitely wanting to get into that. So thank you for the question. The protocol is, yeah, you're right. It's really funny. When you're listening to a satellite, they're just really quickly saying numbers and letters. And, well, as far as I know, what I can hear, they're saying their call sign and their grid square. The grid square is the Maidenhead locator for your location on the planet. It means something to a lot of people, and a lot of them can identify your location out of just this four alphanumeric digits. And you can add two more alphanumeric digits to make it a little more precise. But in Ukiah's location, so ours is Charlie Mike 89. So if I was to get on the satellite and I wanted to see who's out there, I would say my call sign and say Charlie Mike 89. And then someone else would say my call sign back, and they would say their grid locator, and we would have a quick QSO. It would take about less time than it took me to explain it, I think, because then, you know, other people are trying to do it too. And if there's anyone else with more insight to that, yeah, please come with the questions or comments now. KM6WYE, Tuesday TechNet. Okay, well, thank you again for that. I really appreciate the question. That is a really good one. And, yeah, that took me a little bit to find out, too, when I first started listening to them. I was wondering what they were talking about. But, yeah, so check out what the grid locator for your area is, and your specific one. It goes a little deeper. My specific location is Charlie Mike 89, Juliet Delta, which pretty much pinpoints my location pretty close, I think. Yeah, well, we'll break for check-ins and questions before we move on to the next satellite frequencies that you can tune into. Also, after we write these frequencies down, we'll reiterate how you can track them to know when they're going to be passing over. So, checking in, anyone out there with questions, check-ins, KM6WYE, Tuesday TechNet.
Comment, WA6KLK.
Go ahead, Len.
The reason flying on these satellites, and there's a lot more than three of them up there, folks. These are some of the FM satellites, frequency modulation, like we're using here now. And the bandpass isn't wide, and the reason why they're kept so short is to allow other people to get in there, because the pass, maximum pass, is just over 10 minutes on these satellites. So it would be something like CQ, WA6KLK, Charlie Mike 89, over. And somebody would come back like WA6KLK, KM6WYE, Charlie Mike 89. And I say, Roger, Roger, thank you. That's your contact. Not a lot of time to rag to, because other people want to get on. When you go to some of the other satellites, and there's more FM ones also besides the three being talked about tonight, some of the other ones are CW and sideband satellites. And they have a little wider band deal, and you can have actually two or three, four, five, six conversations going at the same time. Not like we do here on FM. And there's a lot of information on the internet on these, and doesn't take a lot of power. It doesn't take real big antennas to work them either, but it does take a little bit of knowing when and what frequencies. Back to you, Bill, WA6KLK.
Wow, that's really great. Thank you, Len. Very good information. I did not know about the CW satellites, and that's pretty cool. I'm going to have to check that out. Yeah, I did notice that there were quite a few other sideband satellites, some of them down into the 28 megahertz and, you know, other lower ranges. But, yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate that. We're going to only talk about the FM satellites as far as voice is concerned. There are also, you know, APRS satellites we're going to get into, and there's the NOAA weather satellites that you can decode, and I use sideband to decode that. I don't know if you're supposed to use FM or not, but sideband seems to work the best for me. But thanks again, Len. Breaking for check-ins, KM6WYE, Tuesday TechNet. Okay, well, moving on, the next voice satellite on FM that is still operational is AO91 Alpha Oscar 91. This one has an uplink frequency in the UHF band, and its downlink is in the VHF band. It's kind of the opposite of the SO50. So the uplink frequency is 435.250. I'll repeat, 435.250. That is the uplink. The PL tone for the uplink is also 67 hertz. I'll repeat, the PL tone is 67 hertz. The frequency is 435.250. That is the uplink for Alpha Oscar 91 satellite. And I'll break for check-ins and questions. KM6WYE. Okay. The downlink for the Alpha Oscar 91 satellite is 145.960. I'll repeat, 145.960. That is the downlink that you will be listening to. So you'll transmit in the UHF and you'll listen in on the VHF. So that's pretty much all there is to that satellite as far as working it. Again, you're using the split offset on your radio. And yeah, so if there's any questions out there or check-ins, go ahead, KM6WYE. You know, last week when we were talking, some people may have noticed my signal faded out, maybe even went away, I'm not even sure. What happened is my antenna fell over, the windstorm knocked my antenna over, and for the probably most of the net, it was just laying on the ground. Luckily, the repeater on Laughlin is quite the wide coverage. It definitely picked me up, although I had to boost the power, which is not good because I noticed the SWR rate. Light flashing on my radio, which means it's up above something, not good. But anyways, wanted to apologize, and hopefully we still were able to transmit through that. And, yeah, we'll break for check-ins, KM6WYE. Okay, well, the Alpha Oscar 92 satellite, Alpha Oscar 92, also has an uplink in the UHF band. The uplink frequency is 435.35. I'll repeat, 435.35 with a PL tone of 67 hertz as well. The frequency is 435.35 PL 67. That is the uplink frequency. The downlink frequency that you'll be listening to is 145.880. There's no PL tone on any of the downlink frequencies. You don't have to worry about that. Just give it a listen. The downlink on A092 satellite is 145.880. Breaking for questions and check-ins. KM6WYE and WA6KLK for the Tuesday TechNet. All right, well, moving on. The next fun thing that I found to do is working packet radio with the satellites that are in orbit that are digipeters. There's the ISS, again, which has a digipeter on it, and there are also two other satellites that operate the same frequency that digipete your APRS packets. And to get into what that is, APRS is the automatic packet reporting system, I believe. It's a digital mode that uses packets to transmit data. In a lot of cases, it's geographical data that a GPS locator. So basically, when this packet goes out, it is containing your location. So when you want to, a lot of people will send their location, their GPS location, through a repeater that is on one of these satellites, and it'll digipete back to someone else on the ground, and that someone else on the ground can see where you are on their map, and they can see where you are, and vice versa. You get the picture. It's kind of a fun thing to do. You can the digipete goes pretty far because it's a satellite. Just like with voice, you get to talk pretty far, hundreds and hundreds of miles away on a 2-meter band, and that's pretty sweet. Seems pretty interesting to do that. No e-skip involved here. Just repeaters and satellites, but cool. We'll break for check-ins. This is KM6WYE for the Tuesday TechNet.
End of comment, WA6KLK.
Go ahead, Len.
A lot of this information Bill is giving you, if you can get a hold of a June 2018 QST, page starting on page 61, 62, and 63, it gives you information on some of the FM satellite frequencies. There's charts adjusting for Doppler and some of the things to do and some other stuff, a lot of other information out there. I happen to have a copy here. I need to make some more copies and remind me next week and we'll see if we can get a copy shipped out to you or a copy put up somewhere on the internet if it's not there. Let me drop it for one other thing. A position reporting amateur position reporting system used worldwide. You can find it on the internet also. People use it also with search dogs and other stuff like that. Small transmitter on a collar, and they can track their dog and other people can from where they are. Search and rescue type stuff. And fire departments and police departments are starting to use this. CAL FIRE is starting to use it so they can tell where their vehicles are at any particular point in time out on a fire or who is nearest to a newly reported fire or something. Dispatching's changed a lot in the last 40 years, 50 years that I can remember of it. WA6KLK, go ahead, Bill.
Thank you, Len. Very much appreciated. Yeah, that's really cool that the fire department and the law enforcement are getting into the APRS. I've found it to be very, very fun to use, and it's pretty cool. There's even a messaging option in there, so you can send text messages through the radio to your, you know, your other friend who's got also got an APRS radio, and yeah, it's pretty cool. But before we get into the APRS satellite that I would like to get into, I would like to talk about how to track the satellites. I know we've gone over this last week a bit, and I think we even went over it a little bit the week before, but we'll reiterate and make sure that we're tracking the satellites so we're not just wasting time waiting for them. And we'll break for check-ins. KM6WYE, WA6KOK, Tuesday TechNet. All right, well, let's move into the segment of how to track these satellites. The app I use, I've said this before, it's a really great app. I know that it is on Android, and I still haven't gotten confirmation of whether the app that someone has found on the iPhone is the same app. But it's called Heavens Above, plural, Heavens Above. It's really great on the Android. You can, there's a whole segment for the ISS. There's an entire segment for amateur radio satellites. And you can see what's going on over you in real time. I basically use it as a side effect software that goes along with the other software I'm about to mention called Ham Radio Deluxe. Now, this piece of software is a very in-depth piece of software for the Windows. I believe they have it for Mac as well. It can control your radio. You're going to need an interface. We'll get into that. But it also has a really great satellite section. So that is the piece of software. We'll get into how to use it, I think, here in a little bit. Another way to track the satellites without downloading anything, you can just go to the website, n2yo.com. That's November2YankeeOscar.com/satellites. And there's a lot of information there. And I think all of the satellites that we know about, I think they're pretty much tracked there. So definitely a good place to check. This is KM6WYE for the Tuesday TechNet. Anyone out there with check-ins or questions this far? Go ahead. Okay, nothing heard. We will continue. So for APRS, you're going to need an interface. You're going to need a way to interface your radio into a computer, unless you have an APRS-capable radio. There's also an app for Android called APRS Is, and that app kind of acts as an APRS radio, and repeats your location. It can receive and send messages through the APRS. It uses the internet, and then your messages will be transmitted out of a repeater. But it's pretty interesting. I use that app because it's pretty cool, and you can see what's going on around you on a map. You can, there's a lot of radios you can interface with that app to where the radio gets the information, puts it into the map on the phone or the tablet, and you get to see what's happening with all the hams around you that are on the APRS network. And we'll break for check-ins. This is KM6WYE.
What was that app?
I think, was there a double there, or was that just you, Rick?
I didn't hear a double, but you were mentioning an app that one could, that you were using for this. Could you repeat that, please?
Absolutely. Sorry if I'm rushing. We are, I'm actually on a time limit here, and we are getting close to the end of the time, so we will have to rush a little bit. The app that I was using is called Heavens Above, plural Heavens Above. You'll find it on the Play Store. It's a really great app. And since we are kind of running out of time, I guess I'm being a little long-winded here. Sorry about that. I would just like to mention the frequency that you would like to use if you want to do APRS digipeding with the satellites that are above. And I'll break real quick for check-ins and questions. I think I heard someone out there. If there was a station trying to check in, please go ahead. Okay, well, it sounds like someone might just be keying on accident. Who knows? Anyways, the packet frequency for the ISS and for the other two satellites that I know of, one is called PCSAT and one is called PSAT, but the frequency up and down in both directions is 145.825. This is the ISS packet frequency, the PCSAT packet frequency, and the PSAT packet frequency. It's 145.825. You'll set your radio to that. The only other thing you're really going to need to change is the path, the APRS digipath. You're going to want to change it to ARISS, wide 2-1. I'll repeat, ARISS, wide 2-1. There's no spaces. Anyone need me to repeat that? Come back now. Any check-ins, anything. KM6WYE. Okay, well, sounds like everybody's gotten it written down, so that's really great. Moving on really quickly, there are some other things you can do. We'll have to check the internet for how to do them. You can decode live weather satellite images from the NOAA weather satellites that are orbiting. You can catch their passes, and you can usually get one image per pass if it's good. Most of the ones I've been able to decode were pretty staticky, but still, you can see what's going on as a live feed above with no internet involved, and it's kind of fun. The frequencies, there is a Doppler effect that you'll have to deal with. You can adjust it manually. There's software to do it. But the frequency for the NOAA 15 satellite is 137.62. I repeat, 137.62. That is the NOAA 15 satellite. The NOAA 18 satellite is 137.9125. I repeat, 137.9125. And the NOAA 19 satellite is 137.1. I repeat, 137.1. That's the NOAA 19 satellite. Use upper sideband to decode those. The Doppler effect means you're going to start at a frequency higher than that, and you're going to follow it down to a frequency lower than that as it passes. And, with that, we're gonna move on and take it back to Len and finish up the net. So thanks again, everybody. This is KM6WYE for the Tuesday TechNet. Back to net control, WA6KLK.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Bill. The other station trying to get in, maybe it was pretty weak, and he only bumped the repeater a couple times. Want to try it again? A walk around, or if you're just on a handy talkie, move it around to where you get a very strong signal. Standing up, sitting down, left, right, up, down, whatever. you get a very, very strong signal in from the repeater, and then try it again, but you were very marginal, I believe. But want to try it again? Don't hear him right at the moment. Okay, thank you, Bill, very, very much. I think next week we're going to go back over some of the stuff from the last couple sessions or so here, try to take a little more time, try to maybe explain some of the words out, like APRS, Doppler, uplink, downlink. A lot of them are pretty common, but just to give you a little better idea. But, yeah, a lot of information on the Internet, not very hard to find. And you can hear a lot of the passes just with an HT and a rubber duck. Outside the building, of course, is better than inside the building. And it can be quite a bit of fun. And if you hear somebody on one of them, I listen to 800 or 860, I think it is, quite a bit. And you'll hear the call, and you'll hear something like Charlie November or Charlie Mike, followed by two numbers. And if you write those down and you go to a Maidenhead grid square map, Maidenhead grid square map type thing, you can find that grid square. It's about 1 degree high in north-south and 2 degrees east-west, and he's somewhere in that grid square. By further defining that out, 6, 8, 10 letters, you can pin him down within 100 feet pretty easy. Once again, thanks, Bill. I think next week, like I say, we'll go ahead and go the other way. Any late check-ins or late regular questions for Tuesday TechNet? We'll get out of here. We'll turn it over to John, W6FQX, for the DigiNet. Thanks, everybody, for being there. Look forward to seeing you next week. If you catch me on the air or catch Bill on the air, don't be afraid to move us off of countywide over to a single repeater so we're not taking up everything. Or catch us on Simplex if you're local somewhere over here. I will gladly sit down. I believe Bill will too, and we'll discuss this stuff out further in detail for you that are interested. And we'll go from there, or we'll always try to find you and go have a cup of coffee or something and sit down and discuss it there. Enjoy. Thanks, everybody. Remember, DigiNet follows immediately here. And tomorrow night, the countywide and walking repeater. Thursday night, the YL and the SwapNet. WA6KLK and KM6WYE. Good night, all.